Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, learn how to be strong and courageous.
Now, some of us are not very strong, spiritually speaking. Why? Because we're not eating. You come to church once a month, maybe, once every 6 months. You're not spending any time in the Word of God. The only time you hear the Word of God is when you come to church, hit and miss. And you say, well, I don't have any spiritual strength. Yeah, because you hadn't eaten in 6 weeks. And you're not going to be very strong if you don't eat in 6 weeks.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
Surely you've faced some pretty fearful things in your life, and maybe that's a recent experience for you. Most of us have, in some way. And nobody wants to be that person who shrinks back in fear when the difficulty arises. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it tells us that God is trying to reassure us when He asks us this question, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous?" This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today he continues the lesson we began yesterday called How to Be Strong and Courageous Through Obedience and Surrender to God's Will in Your Life. He is our rock, and in that, we can surrender all. We'll discover how to do that today in the first message in the Rising to the Challenge series, a study of the book of Joshua. It's an important series for these days in which we live, and it's timely that you're listening today. Let's continue with this message we began on Tuesday and get right to the heart of the matter when it comes to how to handle our struggles. Open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1 for part 2 of the lesson, How to Be Strong and Courageous.
So Joshua is now on the scene. Moses is gone. Here comes Joshua. And Joshua has gigantic shoes to fill. Moses has been the leader for over 40 years. And you have to follow that guy. You have to be the guy coming behind Moses. Joshua, no doubt, is scared. And the Lord is going to tell him, be strong and courageous. And we can learn through his story how we ourselves can be strong and courageous. Three steps that we find in our text. Step number one, believe what God has promised. If you want to be strong and courageous for the Lord and stand up for His word, His will, His ways, believe what He has promised. Now, what had God promised? He made promises way back when to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, promises about a land that He was going to give him. Now, remember this, the land is not a vacant piece of property. There are people who live there. There are giants who live there. And when the people had an opportunity with Moses, when they were camped at the south, Kadesh Barnea, they had only left Egypt for about a year, and God was leading them into the promised land. They didn't go because they said, well, we can't go. There are giants in that land. We need to go back to Egypt. They were so afraid. There were only two of the 12 spies who had faith, Caleb and Joshua. Now, what in the Christian life corresponds to the promised land, to this land flowing with milk and honey? It's the abundant life that the Lord wants you to have. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has blessed us already with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's already in your bank account, every spiritual blessing. And the key to experiencing that, the abundant life, the key is this: God has promised to us His enduring presence. That's what He has promised. Now, He said to Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because I'm with you. I'm with you. The Lord said to Joshua, I will be with you. And no one will be able to stand before you, because I am with you. And the Lord says that same thing to you and to me today. Don't be afraid. You look to me. I will be with you. God promises His enduring presence. So that's the first step. Believe what God has promised. He's promised us a life of victory and abundance. He's promised that He will be with us every step of the way. Second step, obey what God has commanded. So we believe what he has promised, then we obey what he has commanded. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Now remember this, God never gives suggestions to be considered. He gives commands to be obeyed. There's one response to the commands of God for you and for me, and that is two words, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, the command comes. What are we supposed to do? Yes, Lord. There was a lady some years ago that she was really bitter at another person. And a friend went to her and said, listen, you need to forgive so-and-so because it's very obvious you're bitter toward him for some things that he has done. And her answer was this, I'll consider it. Well, the commands of God aren't suggestions for you to consider. They're commands to obey. He is God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we need to obey. God said to Joshua, you obey all that Moses has commanded. And remember this as it relates to obedience and disobedience. How does God tell if you really love him? How does God tell if you really trust him? It's in obedience. See, obedience reveals that you love and trust God. If you don't obey God, it's because you don't love him and you don't trust him. And I'm not making that up. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Talk is cheap. You can say all day long you love the Lord, but if you're not obeying the Lord, according to the Lord, you don't love him. Because if you loved him, you would do what he said. If you trusted him, you would follow through and do what he said. I love the story of Peter when he'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. And the Lord begins to teach and there are throngs of people listening to him. And he says to Peter after he gets done with his sermon, he said, Peter, cast out your nets into the deep water for a catch. And Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night and caught nothing. Lord, this isn't the time. Nighttime's the time to fish. This isn't the time to fish. The fish aren't biting. Now, I know a lot more about fishing than you do. I mean, I know that you're the Lord and you're a great preacher, but I'm a good fisherman. I've been doing this a lot longer than you have. Now, he doesn't say all that, but you know that's going on in his mind. And it was a big deal. Casting out your nets is not like throwing out a line. I mean, it's a big deal. That's a huge net. And so that's a major deal to cast out the net. So he said, Lord, we've been fishing all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he did it. And you remember the story? He caught so many fish that the nets began to break and he was putting them into the boat and the boat began to sink. And he said to the Lord, he saw that Jesus was the Holy One of God, and he saw his own sinfulness, and he said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Here's the thing that you need to remember that I need to remember. It's a little progression, and it goes like this. To know God is to love God. And to love God is to trust God. And to trust God is to obey God, and to obey God is to be blessed. To know God is to love God. To love God is to trust God. To trust God is to obey God, and to obey God is to be blessed. Jesus said, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. If you do them. The blessing is not in the knowing, although you have to know to do, but the blessing is in the doing of the word of God. And when you do what God tells you to do, he blesses you for it. So the very first step, you want to be a person who's strong and courageous for the Lord. You believe what God has promised. Secondly, you obey what God has commanded. And thirdly, you study what God has written. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Verse 8 says this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Joshua, you need to study the book of the law. You need to study day and night. You need to meditate on it day and night. It needs to be in your mouth. Why? Because the word of God is food for your soul. That's why. And Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous. And one of the key ways that you can be strong to know that I'm with you, to obey what I say, and to feed on my words. Jeremiah said this, "Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I've been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah the prophet, "Lord, your words were found and I ate them. I fed off of them. I nourished myself with your word." Now God's word in the New Testament, Matthew 4:4, is likened to bread. Because Jesus said to the devil who came to tempt him, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So it's likened to bread. It's likened to milk. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. "As newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." So it's bread, it's milk. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 calls it meat. It says that meat is for the mature. He said, you can't just live off of milk. Milk is for babes, but solid food, meat, is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. God's word. It's bread and milk and meat. It's food for your soul. Now, some of us are not very strong, spiritually speaking. Why? Because we're not eating. You come to church once a month, maybe, once every 6 months. You're not spending any time in the Word of God. The only time you hear the Word of God is when you come to church, hit and miss. And you say, "Well, I don't have any spiritual strength." Yeah, because you hadn't eaten in 6 weeks. And you're not going to be very strong if you don't eat in 6 weeks. Now, one of the strongest guys who has ever lived is a guy who was in the bodybuilding industry in the early 2000s. He was a competitor. His name was Ronnie Coleman. He was 8 times Mr. Olympia. 8 years in a row. He's 5'11 when he was competing, 300 pounds. He had a 60-inch chest, a 36-inch waist, 24-inch biceps, 36-inch thighs, 7% body fat. I don't have anything in common with those numbers. He could bench press 500 pounds 5 times. He curled 325 pounds. His squat was almost 900 pounds, and he deadlifted 900 pounds. His diet, he ate 5,562 calories a day. Okay, I do that. This is the distribution. 546 grams of protein per day. That's a lot of protein. 474 carbs, 150 grams of fat. Hey, how do you get to be 5'11", 300 with 7% body fat? I mean, I can get to be 5'10", 300, but there wouldn't be 7%, maybe 70% body fat. I mean, we know how to do that. But 7% body fat, you have to be eating and working out like crazy. And he was eating and eating and eating and eating protein. He was eating the milk and the bread and the meat. God says, that's what you need to do with my word so that you can be strong. His word is food for your soul. And God's word is to be in your heart and in your mouth. The psalmist said, "Lord, your word I've hidden in my heart. I've treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's there in my heart. And he says to Joshua, you shall meditate on it day and night. The book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. To meditate on it. That word meditate means to mutter. It means to moan. It's kind of like, you know, you're studying something and you're like, You know, you just kind of make little groans and little mutters about it. That's God wants us to do that with his word, where we read it. And you're not just trying to sprint through a book of the Bible, but you're really spending time meditating on what does God say. Let me give you something that I had just learned a few years ago. I never thought about it before. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. He's not talking he anymore. He's talking you, Lord. He changes it. At first, he's just telling people about the Lord. Now he's talking to the Lord because he's in a dangerous spot. And Lord, I need you to be so close because he is with me. You are with me, Lord. And he directs it directly to God. Hey, those are little things that you don't get from a cursory reading, that you get that from meditating on it. Now, we have an object lesson in nature, and that's the cow. You know, cows have four stomachs. They chew up the grass, they swallow it, and it goes in one of those four stomachs, and then they spit it back up again, and they chew on it some more. And they do it for 8 hours a day where they chew the cud. That's a picture of what we're supposed to be doing with the Word of God. See, we have it down in our heart so we can spit it back up, so we can put it into our mind and put it into our mouth, and we can speak it, and we can think on it, and we can say, what does this mean? And we can pray it. See, you know, a lot of us have trouble praying. How do you pray? Praying is integrated with the Word. As you read the Word, you pray that back to God. You say, Lord, you said this. Lord, I'm facing some difficult times. You said that you would be with Joshua, and you said in Hebrews that you would be with me. And Lord, I'm facing some difficult, dangerous, scary things. And God, I'm just going to claim your presence. Isaiah 26:3 says that God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. And when you're facing some difficult times where the peace is not there, you claim Psalm 26:3. Take it out of your heart, you put it in your mouth and say, Lord, you promised that if I would put my mind on you, you would give me peace. And that's what I do right now. You put God's word into practice. It's in your mind. It's in your mouth. You speak it over your life. You speak it over your kids. Don't speak all the fears. Speak the word of God. Speak the truth of God. And all these things, it says in Romans 8:37, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You know, the devil likes to beat us over the head with a big club of guilt, saying, look what you did here and look what you did there. And you've come to church. And boy, if people knew what you did, like I know what you did. I know what you did last week. I know what you did last month. I know what you did last summer. And he beats you up over the head with guilt. What does the Lord say in his word concerning his children? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been forgiven and we have been set free. I told somebody the other day, they said, oh, I just struggle so much with my past, the things that I did. And I asked God, forgive me for the same sin over and over and over and over again. I said, listen, you need to ask God to forgive you once and thank him 1,000 times for forgiving you. Yeah. Study what God has written. Obey what God has commanded. Believe what God has promised. Then you'll have success. Then you'll make your way sure. Then you'll be prosperous and you'll be strong and courageous. Let me close with this story. I ran across this story this week. In the 16th century, there was a Protestant reformer in England. His name was Hugh Latimer. He was known as a great preacher of his day. And as a result, he had many opportunities to speak. And on one occasion, he was to speak before Henry VIII, King Henry VIII of England. He thought about this great responsibility to bring a message before the king. And he realized that the message that God put on his heart wasn't going to be received well by the king. Here's how he began his message. Latimer, Latimer. Do you remember that you are speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has power to command you to be sent to prison and who can have your head cut off if it pleases him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears?" And then he paused and he said these words, "Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before him at whose throne Henry VIII will stand, before him to whom one day you will have to give an account of yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word." That's courage. That's courage. God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today's lesson, how to be strong and courageous. It's the first of 10 in the series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. And oh, what a verse it is, and what a message. What a hope that this gives all of us. It's a message for this generation, many of whom have lost hope. We're going to continue with the other 9 lessons in this series throughout this month. If you're challenged and intimidated around every corner of this life that you're walking, would you like for that to stop? Is your faith in God's promises circumstantial? If it's an easy problem you can fix with or without God, no problem. But not much strong faith when you have to put it all into His hands. What keeps you from growing in your faith? Maybe the more critical question is this: what keeps you from having faith in God's love for you at all? Could it be tragedies in your life, a shame-filled guilt, or just the hypocrisy that you see in so-called religious people? Or perhaps you have some other sticking point that's causing you to not trust God. Well, you're not alone, and that's why Pastor Jeff is offering this compelling 4-message series called Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith, and his bonus booklet, Not Guilty, for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. This will help you overcome the stronghold of guilt and other stumbling blocks in your life. Both the series and the booklet for your gift today of any amount. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Pastor Jeff Shreve receives no income from any donations to From His Heart. He's our chief volunteer. God bless you for helping us tell the world about God's great love found in Jesus. And thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you were empowered by the lesson today called How to Be Strong and Courageous. You only heard part 2 today. You can listen to part 1 when you go online to fromhisheart.org. And we invite you to be with us next time for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's Rising to the Challenge series. It's called Spies, Lies, and Redemption. Here's a preview.
Rahab becomes the poster child for any and all, and she can say with the Apostle Paul, "If God can save me, He can save anyone, because I was perhaps the worst of the worst." Maybe you say, "Well, you know, Jeff, I kind of feel like maybe I burned my bridge with God. Maybe I've sinned too greatly. Maybe I'm too bad. Maybe the things that I've done, I mean, maybe I've crossed a line with God." But you haven't, because Rahab will tell you, "If God can save me, He can save you. If God can change me, He can change you."
That's on Wednesday, when we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to promiseheart.org.